Hi! Welcome to Diary of a Sex Therapist. My name is Elizabeth Akwili, and this is my diary you're listening to. If you are in your 20s like I am, you are under pressure. Everyone has expectations of you right now. They want you to get married. They want you to have plenty money. They want you to have a car. They want you to have a house. They want you to have investments. They want you to be smart. They want you to look sexy. They expect you to be spiritual. They expect you to pray. They want you to volunteer. You should be having kids. Why haven't you had your second child yet? Your friend is getting married on Saturday. Why aren't you getting married? Aren't you supposed to be on the bridal train? Wait, isn't this your 15th bridal train? Whew. A lot. That's what it feels like to be 20 something. And so this pressure keeps coming. In the midst of all this, you have goals, personal goals. You know, you want to conquer the world, go to the moon, you know, build skyscrapers, have international investments. Oh Lord. And I'm being playful right now. But it is not funny. It is not funny. It is not funny. I have spoken to 20-something-year-old. I've been talking to millennials. It is not funny. The pressure is real. The pressure to be successful. And so in the last few weeks, I've been asking myself, Lisa, what does it mean to be successful? Because people have opinions. People have very strong opinions about how successful you should be with your own life. Your own life that they did not borrow you. Your own life. If you don't dress a certain way, you're not feminine enough. If you don't dress a certain way, if you don't look a certain way, you're not masculine enough. And it's because you're not masculine enough. That's why no girl has agreed to date you yet. Because no girl has agreed to date you yet, that's why you don't have money. Wait, because if you had a girl in your life, you'd have been pressured to make money. They just have one. And the way they connect the dots with this, their opinion, they're wondering, how is that even related? I know a certain person that every time she brings up work, the moment she brings up work and she finds out she's losing the conversation, she just throws it into marriage. I'm like, how did we end up here? We're talking about work and money. Like, that was the conversation. Why are you pulling the rugs under me? And so it becomes important that we define what success is to us. In 2016, when I set out to be a counselor, I was already working as a content. I had been a content creator for 5 years as at the time, not for digital companies. I became a content creator for digital media in January 2016. Yes, then I started practicing to become a therapist September 2016. So it was like just a couple of months apart. So when I did step out, prior to when I stepped out, one of my personal goals was to be harmonized. And so harmony for me was success as at that phase in my life. What it meant was that I was not a different person on stage because I found out I had access to a couple. I used to play around. I know I even tried out pageantry at some point. So I didn't want to be a different person on stage than I was personally. I had served as an ESCO in prayer units prior to that time. And there was a facade I was expected to keep. Literally, people would see me in the morning and the first question is, woman of God, what's the Lord saying? I'm like, good morning, no day or dictionary. Like, what did they do this one? What's up? But I mean, people expected you to have an air of holiness. I don't know what that is, but they expected it. They expected you to look a certain way. I remembered wearing trousers and they would look at me like, this guy is not very saved. And then they were scared. They were like, oh my God, wow, skirts fit you. It's not because the skirt fits me, it's because they want me to wear skirts. They want me to start dressing like sister. I wear skirts. I love them. They look absolutely fascinating on me with my body shape and all, but it can just be really stressful sometimes. But as at the time these people were doing all these things, they were trying to make me fit into their mold to be successful according to their standards. So this is me years later, I think about 2 years later in my final year, saying my goal is to have harmony. My goal is to be the same person on the altar when I'm singing, the same person on the altar when I'm praying, the same person on my knees when I'm interceding and there's no one else. To be the same person who is studying about sex when there's nobody watching me. To be the same person who is teaching about sex. To be the same person when I'm dating. To be the same person when I'm not in a relationship. To be harmonized became my goal. In order to harmonize, I needed to heal from certain traumas. I needed to heal from certain expectations. Some of them were mine. Some of them were expectations that other people thrust on me. Some of them were opinions people had of me. Some of them were people's perceptions, people's opinions that ended up tampering with my reputation at some point in my life, and it made me feel terrible about myself. In order to harmonize, I needed to heal to some degree, not for them, for myself, because at that point my success was internal. So I moved on from that phase in my life into another where success became knowledge for me, where my capacity to know something was just so intriguing, where I could come in the office and ask my boss, "We're supposed to send newsletters, but so and so person who is supposed to handle it is not available." And she's like, "Figure it out." And I figure it out. I am so proud of myself. It's like, yeah, I did it. That's my did it moment. It's like, I'm just so proud of myself. Then one other time, success in my life became my capacity to manage time. I've never really been too wasteful of time, but I became extra conscious. So for that whole year, I had a do diary. That diary had a list of everything I did with my day, including days when I observed 6 hours siesta. Yes, roll your eyes on me, I know. Days I don't sleep at night, so I end up sleeping during the day. And so sometimes my afternoon nap or my siesta becomes night sleep. It's that long. But what that did for me was it helped me appreciate how much I did. Because in my to-do list could have 4 bullet points. But in order to achieve 4 bullet points, I do 24 sub other things, 24 tiny other things that I do not notice, that I do not give credit to, that I do not appreciate myself for. So what my do diary did was help me appreciate the tiny things I did. It helped me appreciate my time. It helped me know how to manage it. So I slept too much yesterday. Okay, so what do I cut down today? Oh, I did this yesterday. It helped me appreciate myself for how ambidextrous I was with some things, my capacity to do them. That was about the same period I found out I was better when I focused on one thing. For example, recording this podcast, I'm doing nothing else. I'm not thinking of any other thing. I'm not looking at any other place. My mind, if you see me right now, you think I'm making a video. That's how much attention I give to things. So that period of my life, I began to also give attention. And so my capacity to give attention to something was success for me. And then my capacity to listen became success. And that showed up in the feedback my clients gave me. They always said they felt like I listened to them. And that was a goal for me. That was success for me. And then success became my capacity to run my team. See, what I'm telling you all this to let you know that success, our definitions of success changes. And then one other point, it wasn't anymore about managing. Okay, yeah, it was still about managing my business, but it became payment, salary, staff, sales. That became my priority. See, this is my personal definitions of success. Mind you, people have definitions of success they've been thrusting at me all the while. And so we have people who say, yes, you're single because you're looking for a pastor. I have this family friend who has this opinion that the reason I'm single is because I'm looking for a man who prays in tongues, who does this, who does that. And every time she comes to my house and she's talking, everybody's laughing. I'm just looking at her like, I'm not even going to explain to you. I'm tired. Then I have pastors in church who tell me, they know I'm single. I know you're single because you don't want to marry a pastor. Like, ooh, people want to kill me. Yeah, and then there are people who think you work too much, so you're not available for this, you're not available for that. I'm like, who gave you people all this impression? Some of the people are like, you have money, you, especially if you're in Nigeria. Goodness, whining is part of our, what else? We should add it to our resumes. Nigeria, whiner. We whine people. We know how to hype. Oh, sorry, if you're not listening to me from Nigeria, whining actually means to hype a person, to flatter them. So in the midst of my personal expectations of myself, my personal goals for myself, mind you, 80% of my goals for myself, my internal definitions of success, were not visual. I just started coming to the visual aspect of success for myself this year. And by this year, I'm speaking from about February, when I started releasing books, I started releasing resource materials, digital products back to back. That's when my definitions of success became external. For the last 4 years, my definitions of success have been very, very internal. And to a lot of people, I wasn't successful because my definition of success was internal. By the time my definitions of success started getting expressed, which was in publishing my books and releasing devotionals, releasing audio courses, all forms of digital product, teaching people how to get their digital media in place, create courses and all the others, I began to relate. Pay attention to this. I began to relate with what their expectations of me were, which was foremost, have money. That's not their foremost. Their foremost is get married. Then the second is having money. Yeah. Now that I need money, the pressure began to get to me. If you listen to my first episode after I came back, if you notice that I went off in July, we were supposed to do the body series. I recorded just one episode and I went AWOL on you. What happened was that I had a mental breakdown. External pressure, I began to internalize external pressure, something I haven't done in 4 years. If you're a young person in your 20s listening to me, I'm saying to you, there are pressures. But the moment you begin to internalize them, you will amplify your feelings of not being enough. And I speak from experience and as a therapist right now. You would amplify your feelings of not being enough. You would amplify your anxiety levels. You magnify your problems beyond what they really are. And that was exactly what happened to me. I began to feel like I'm not doing enough. And so I was writing morning, night. I was publishing during the day. I was recording podcasts. I was doing this. I was trying to mass produce things I didn't use to mass produce. And the effect of it was my body and my mind gave way. See, when it gave way, it was just me. It was absolutely just me. I had my personal tribe running around. My friends were... Yeah, I remembered one of my friends sending me 5,000 to drink yogurt. Like, my friends were mindful of me. They were running to check up on me, do what they needed to do. But when everybody was done calling and everyone was done texting, it was just me in my room. The first 3 weeks after the breakdown happened, the breakdown felt like, I don't know how to explain it. It felt like they put all the power source in my mind. And I remembered being unable to form words. That was the scariest part for me. I was unable to form words. I mean, I would try to think and it would feel like my head was jamming. Like there's a jam inside my head. It would feel like my head was experiencing a jam. Words will not form in my mind. Someone will send me a message and for 30 minutes I'm trying to put together one sentence. It's not like the sentences were coming and the words were not correct. No, no word was coming at all. Do you know how scary that is for a content creator? I don't even know what I would have done with my life. Here I was trying to form words in my room and there were no words. And after about 4 days, I started being able to force myself to think. And when I did, and I did that for more than 10 minutes, I would have severe headaches. I'm getting into this to say, who are you trying to be successful for? Yourself or them? And by them, I mean any person who has expectations of you. It could be family, it could be friends, it could be what you think society is saying. Right now, it is you versus them. That's what I'm doing. Who are you trying to be successful for? Whose definition of success are you running with? Whose definition of success is putting you under pressure? This happened, I think, between July 17 and 19. And then the initial 4 days was still about July 20-something. I was coming on WhatsApp and I was dropping old posts. People didn't know what was happening. I felt like I was dying. You don't know what it means for a content creator to be unable to use words. It's like being a painter and not being able to use your hands. That was what was happening. Because I can't speak words if I can't form them. And I couldn't. It might feel like I am exaggerating it right now. But that was what happened. For weeks, I would try to push my mind. And when I pushed it, I would last for 30 minutes. And then it began to increase. I remembered one of those days. I was giving a brief to a business developer who was working with us for some proposals. And I had given her barely 30 minutes of brief. That brief was supposed to last for about an hour. I had given her barely 30 minutes of brief, and I felt like I was going to faint. I got dizzy. I wasn't standing, I was sitting down. Because I allowed myself to internalize the pressure of a few people who have expectations of me. And because my personal definitions of success was close to theirs, I allowed myself to swallow theirs hook, line, and sinker. And suddenly, all my success as a person who was building a business, as an entrepreneur, all my success as a person, as an individual in my own place, I allowed that to get swallowed up. Because obviously, if for 4 years I had been building consistently on my own terms, it obviously means they've been speaking for 4 years. So what happened when I opened my ears to hearing them was the clamors for 5 years came in at once. That's what we've been telling you. It was coming in everywhere. Somewhere in the midst of this was the first time I had a literal panic attack. I have had to hold people in panic attacks. I have had tremors on my body when I'm scared, when I'm angry. That happened after I had cerebral malaria in secondary school. I started having tremors anytime I'm pissed or anytime I was having extreme emotions. But this was the first time I was having a literal panic attack. I was taking deep breaths, and I knew I took over 30 of those things, and I still couldn't feel myself. My body was vibrating. I couldn't sit down straight because I allowed someone to define success for me. I allowed someone to swallow my voice. Who are you trying to be successful for? What's the price you're paying for it? Are you trying so hard to be financially secure that you have no personal time, you have no personal relationships, you have no tribe you can call your own, you have no people watching your back? Is that what success is? Are you successful, end quote, at the expense of your relationship? Are you successful at the expense of your sanity? Some of us are dealing with anxiety and we just keep pushing ourselves because, yes, we have to be successful, and we're putting ourselves under so much pressure that our insides and our outsides don't align anymore. I was in Wealth and Wellbeing by Dio Samuel and a few friends recently. I think that was last week. And when Star Adia was speaking, I was shouting, "Yes, yes, this feels like being in church. I have been successful all the while." I'm going to read something I uploaded on WhatsApp. I tend to write a lot of stuff on WhatsApp. That's where I do my initial ideation. And then I'll say something the scripture says to us. I wrote yesterday, I said, "Who cares if it takes 10 years to build, if it's going to be around for 100 years? Why feel shy that you don't have it in order in 2 years, if it's going to last for 20? We struggle with building long-term because we let people who are going nowhere fast grind on us. I'm building. I am trying to grow. There's a type of root that finds water in drought. There's a type of root that stays through the storm. There's a kind of structure that withstands the flood. Lisa, don't stop building. Dig your valleys full of ditches, because where you're going is different. Your set of instructions are different. Your manual is different. You're letting someone carry a template from an industry that is not yours and superimpose it on you. Am I saying don't listen to other people? God forbid. You know me. I'm a person of accountability. This is not pride. I am a person of accountability, and call it pride. I am a person of accountability. I believe in community. I believe in being answerable. If you're not answerable to any person, you have a problem. That's not what it is. Be accountable, be answerable, be responsive. But you cannot define success absolutely by other people's opinions. If their definitions of success does not align with yours, you will break down. You will break down. You will go nowhere fast. You would have gone on a journey for 10 years, 15 years and realized, this is not where I want to be with my life. People have gotten married because they were under pressure, and 2 years into the marriage, they're getting a divorce. So where are we running to? People have changed careers because of other people. Children have gone to school and studied a different thing, and after 5-7 years doing a course they don't like, they realize, this is not what I wanted to do in my life. I passed in class, but this is not what I want. This is not my definition of success. So who are you trying to be successful for? If you listen to this episode today, I want you to write out your definition of success at this phase of your life. What does success mean to you? What does success look like? Write it out. Then ask yourself, how do I achieve this? Write out all the things people have to say to you about success. Write it down. Juxtapose it. Do you want it? I want love, but I won't sacrifice myself for it. No, I won't lose my person. I will not minimize myself so I can be loved. I've heard silly things like women should not buy cars so that men who want to ask them out will not be intimidated. Wow! So I should be poor. I should be broke. I cannot spoil a man. Don't buy a washing machine because you're a single woman. What are you talking about? Don't do this because you're a single woman. Don't do that because you're 20-something. Really? I'm not saying spend, be careless with money or anything. No, that's not what it is. But find out this pressure you are going through. This pressure, you feel like you're in a pressure cooker, but who put you there? Who? You agreed to it. You are agreeing to it. You're subscribing to it. That's why it's pressuring you. So who are you trying to be successful for? I hope you will really pay attention and cut off this anxiety you're feeling. I'm wishing you healing and harmony from here. Until next week, Friday. Bye. Don't forget to check out my website at www.ministerliza.xyz. Of course, courses are there. Fantastic opportunities. Free resource materials are also there.